Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 14 minutes or so, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. Last week, I started the second weekly strength series where the focus is the nature of God. What is God really like? What are some aspects of God's character that are discussed in the Bible? Today, I'm going to cover God as our Father in heaven. The Bible passage for this episode is one that is familiar to most of you, if not all of you. Some of you have heard it dozens of times, and I'm guessing that any pastor in the audience has preached on this passage more than once. It's the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, from Luke 15, 11 to 32. I'll read it from the English Standard Version, the ESV. Even if you have this parable memorized, I ask that you listen intently. The wonderful thing about the parables of Jesus, even the most familiar ones, is that you can always discover something new when you read or hear one again. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Everyone loves this parable, right? Well, when Jesus told it, his audience didn't love it. They didn't even like it. In fact, they probably hated it. They didn't view the father in the story as the hero. Instead, his actions were shocking and appalling to them. Fathers were the backbone of first century Jewish society. The father was the spiritual and legal head of his household. He was responsible for feeding, sheltering, and protecting his family. In return, he commanded, and typically demanded, total respect from his wife and children, even when those children were grown. The oldest fathers in a community were elders who were respected and even revered by all. With that in mind, let's go back through the parable, one step at a time. The parable begins with the younger son saying, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. This is incredibly disrespectful. In essence, he is telling his father, "You are of no value to me until you are dead, and I can get my inheritance. I wish you were dead." In fact, by demanding his inheritance now, the younger son is treating the father as if he were dead already. How would a good Jewish father respond to such an outlandish request? At a minimum, he would discipline the son severely. It wouldn't be out of bounds for the father to disown the son on the spot and kick him out of the house. After all, the younger son's inheritance was a third of the family's assets, and the father needed those assets to fulfill his responsibility of providing for and protecting his family. What does the father in the parable do? He gives the younger son the inheritance. He doesn't even say a word. He just gives the disrespectful son a third of the family's assets. He's a terrible father. That's what some of the people in Jesus' audience probably whispered. As the story continues, the younger son finds himself completely destitute. He has squandered the entire inheritance. He's in a foreign land, living with Gentiles or non-Jews. He's even feeding pigs, which Jews considered unclean. If he doesn't return home, he's going to die. But there are two huge obstacles to his going home. The first is with his father's community. If it learns that he has squandered his money with non-Jews, the community will have a kezazah, or cutting off, ceremony, and have nothing to do with him for the rest of his life. If the son manages to get past the community leaders and make it home, he faces a second obstacle. His father will never accept him back into the family. The son's only hope is that the father will take him on as a servant. So he rehearses a speech in which he begs his father to do just that. But he knows full well that a good Jewish father has every right to reject his plea to become a servant and send away his wayward son. Jesus' audience probably figured that either the community would come through or the father would redeem himself for his humiliating blunder earlier. But neither of those happens. Instead, the father's behavior becomes even more shameful. Day after day, rather than focusing on his household, which he has deprived of one-third of his wealth, the father scans the horizon for the son who has disrespected and dishonored him. Finally, the father spots the son a long way off. Before anyone else in the community can act, the father runs, races to meet him. In Jesus' day, a middle-aged Jewish father never ran. Never. He always walked in a slow, dignified manner. To run, he would have to take the front edge of his robes in his hands as a teenager would, and that would show his legs in what was considered a humiliating posture. When the father, sweating and out of breath, reaches his prodigal child, the son starts his well-rehearsed speech about how he has treated his father terribly. The father cuts him off. Will he finally disown this worthless son? No, he does the unthinkable. He restores him as a son and has a celebration to welcome him back into the family. At this point, the people in Jesus' audience were getting angry. So Jesus decided to make them even more angry by adding them to the story in the character of the older son. That son hears music from inside the house and asks a servant what is happening. After the servant tells him that the father is throwing a party for the younger son, the older son becomes furious and refuses to go in the house. When his father comes to him, the older son says that he has served his father for years and has nothing to show for it, while his wayward brother gets a party. The father's response is very simple. "All that is mine is yours," he says. And the story ends. And here's the punch in the gut for a first century Jewish audience. The father in the story is God. As Christians, we're used to calling God our Heavenly Father. We've had 2,000 years of practice doing that. But Jews in the first century didn't do that. They didn't do that before the first century either. In the entire Old Testament, there are only two passages that refer to God as Father. Both are near the end of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 63:16 and Isaiah 64:8-9, and both refer to God as the Father of the nation of Israel. So here's what Jesus' audience heard about God in the parable. God is our Father, not just the Father of our nation, but the Father of each one of us. He's unlike any father we know, even the best father in our community. He will pursue a sinner who has abandoned him and made a mess of his life, and restore that sinner if he repents. And here's what those in the audience heard about themselves. Somehow, even though we say that we've been serving God faithfully, we actually have rejected him. It turns out that both sons in the story were lost. In the end, only one went to the party. Next week, we'll talk about God's grace. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. I want to end this episode a little differently by playing a portion of a song from one of my favorite artists, Chris Rice. Before I play it, I want to state clearly that I'm a big supporter of Christian artists, and as an author myself, I take copyrights very seriously. I would not include part of this song in a podcast episode unless it were freely available on the internet. And this one is. There are two videos on Chris Rice's YouTube page for this song. I'll include a link to one of them in the show notes in case I receive a request that I remove the song excerpt from this episode. If you enjoy what you hear, please purchase one of the albums on which it appears, Smell the Color 9 or Short-Term Memories. The song is entitled Home Tonight. It's told from the perspective of a prodigal son who has decided to return home. Enjoy, and have a good week, men.
I've come to my senses. How did I get so far from home? The lies dissipating, revealing I'm so alone. And I remember now how strong love can be. And I wonder how did I ever leave? Burn your fire on the altar, leave a candle on the porch. I'm still too far away to see it, but I'm aching for its warmth. And I'm so tired and cold and dark and lonesome, but still I hear your song inside. So sing it louder if you want me home tonight. Sing it loud now, 'cause I'm coming home tonight. This isn't the first time.